Hello, this is Mace Haroff, and let me welcome you again to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast. My comments, my content is aimed at people who sell professionally in the healthcare sales environment. I assume that's you or someone who aspires to be a medical sales representative, or you wouldn't be here. You know, a lot of the information that I share here is not just about sales techniques and how to close more business. It has to do with the larger elements of building trust, creating a small empire in your territory by being the sales representative that people look to really more as a resource, as a consultant. So a lot of the things I talk about are things that I talk about because so many reps fail to do them. So many. You know, it's amazing, folks, but in a industry where professionalism is so important, it's amazing how many sales representatives really miss the finer points of what it is to be a true professional. So one of the things I want to talk to you about today, actually the thing I do want to talk to you about today, is about what happens when you make a mistake in your territory, which, trust me, will happen. And of course, mistakes is a very generic term. There are different levels of mistakes. And, you know, small mistakes a lot of times won't really hurt you unless you do them repeatedly, unless you're not paying attention to detail. Because let's face it, we're talking about healthcare. We're talking about people, healthcare providers, who are responsible for managing people's health, their well-being, and saving them from disease or from conditions which can severely alter their well-being and happiness. So this is very, very important that your customers trust you. So attention to detail is very, very important. And another thing, of course, is that professionals seldom make the same mistake twice. You know, I've always looked at a big mistake as a learning experience. What can you learn from it? When something goes wrong, you have to be able to step back and say, wow, that was bad. It shouldn't have happened. But what have I learned and how can I prevent it from happening again? I'll talk about that more. But what I want to talk about right now is what happens when you make a bigger mistake, something which has some significance, something which really, really upsets your customers. There's only one thing to do. Now, right now you're saying, Mace, I know what it is. I know what it is. And you probably do. But here's the thing. So many medical sales representatives, when they make a mistake, they hide from the mistake. They just hope that, well, hopefully people will forget about it. It'll just go away. There won't be any sequelae or consequences. Folks, that's not going to happen. Here's the thing. When you make a mistake, you just need to face it and fix it. Now, this is very, very hard to do. You know, if you have a mistake, a situation, let's say with a surgeon or a physician, your biggest fear, of course, well, I'm not sure what your biggest fear is. Here are your two fears. Your two fears are losing the business and looking stupid. I don't know which is a bigger fear for medical sales representatives. Now, a lot of them will say the bigger fear is losing the business, but I don't believe that because I think if that was the big concern, typically what someone would do when they were in this situation would be to just go and fix the mistake. Do what you can to avoid losing the business. But people tend to retreat. They tend to avoid it. And I think that's because of their egos. They are afraid to look stupid. But the reality is, the stupid part, when you make a mistake, the stupid part has already happened. You already look stupid. Now, when I say stupid, I'm not trying to be insulting. But when I'm using that term as part and parcel of the term looking stupid. It's not that you look stupid, but if the mistake has been done and if it can be tied back to you, the mistake is already attributed to you, so there is already that association. You have to change that association from a negative into a positive. Can you do that? Not all the time, but you have to try. You definitely have to try to change it. When you're facing mistakes, you have to fix them. You can't hide from them. Let me give you a situation. I'm going to describe something from my past, which is very painful. I mean, this is excruciatingly painful. In fact, I'm not sure I've even told this story on the podcast or in any of my other content. But one day in my career, as you know, I was in orthopedic implant sales for the majority of my career, and I was going in to do a revision hip replacement with a surgeon who I'd worked so hard to get his business over the years. And this was a very, very complex revision on a young patient. In fact, this is one of those cases you dread. If you've been in orthopedics or if you've spent time in the operating room, you know that there are, the more variables there are, the more likely there are for things to go wrong. But yet, I've managed this. I had managed this very well for over 20 years. I had a team in place that I trusted implicitly. So let me tell you what happened. This was a case where the surgeon wasn't really sure how it was going to go, so we had to have backups to our backups. The reality was that there were 34 trays of instruments that I brought in for this case, 34 trays. And these trays are, you know, they're pretty good sized trays. They're like 18 inches by 12 inches by about, you know, eight or 10 inches tall. Each one weighs anywhere from probably 15 to 25 pounds. This is a lot of instruments. And, you know, I'm very busy running a big multi-million dollar territory, had two people working for me, and I trusted them to set up the case. I get there, the surgery begins, and one of the things I always do, and I always tell people to do this, this is the pilot in me. You probably know sales pilot, I'm a pilot. Pilots learn to use checklists to check and double check everything before you take off, before you get up in the air, because once you're up in the air, there's not a whole lot that you can do to change things. Let me put it to you this way. Your options are a little bit different than they were while you were still on the ground. It's the same thing in medical sales, especially if you're going into the operating room for surgical cases. So while I was trying to, early on in the case, trying to inventory all of the surgical trays that were there, it just wasn't possible. The scrub tech who was doing the case was very, very busy. There was a lot going on, and there were just trays all over the place. I mean, they had to bring in extra tables and drape them. It was a mess. But here's what happened. We get to a point in the surgery where the surgeon needed a particular set of instruments. Long story short, we couldn't find them, and the reason we couldn't find them is because they were not there. Now imagine this, you're in the operating room, the surgeon has a patient opened on the table, has been working on this patient now for several hours. The instrument he needs to fix the patient to do the major part of the surgery, not there. This is about the worst situation you can be in as a salesperson, as anybody who's associated or responsible for this. Well, you know, I did what I could do. I got a hold of the people on my team. The nearest instrument to get there was over an hour away. In fact, it was probably about an hour and a half away. Really, it just wasn't pragmatic because we were at a stage of the operation where things had to move. Now, here's the good part. The surgeon was an excellent, excellent surgeon. And the reality is that there was a way to do this part of the surgery without the instruments that he needed. Had to make some concessions, had to step back and think about it. And of course, this was very, very stressful for the surgeon. You know, at this point in the surgery, he trusted me. He trusted that I would have everything there for him. It wasn't there. So he had to deal with that stress. But the guy was a professional because he stepped back and he said, well, what do we need to do? What are our options? Let's do it. So long story short on the surgery part, the surgery went well, the patient did well, the surgeon did a beautiful job, there was a lot of stress in there, but the patient had the same outcome that the patient would have had whether we had the instrument or not, because there were other ways of doing it. But yet, this was a huge mistake in the eyes of the surgeon and the operating team. And I think when I got out of that surgery, I was soaking wet. And, you know, the first thing I did was I called a meeting for my team that evening. I had them meet me at my house. And this was a horrible meeting. I mean, read them the riot act. I literally had them in tears, tears running down their faces, you know. And the main thing being, how could we disappoint the surgeon? How could we do that to a patient? How could we be so cavalier, you know, so complacent to think that everything was there? The reality was one of the trays was sitting in the back seat on the floor of one of my associates' cars. And he just missed it. He didn't do it. And people were pointing fingers at each other, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the thing. I had a crisis. There was a bad mistake. I had to go face it. This was the worst thing I ever had to deal with as a sales representative in my territory. And the next day, when the surgeon was in his office, I went to his office and said, I need to speak to him. Very important. And, he let me in, and he was sitting behind the desk. And I got the impression that he was waiting for me to come in and say, look, it wasn't my fault. These things happen. I'm sorry, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't try to hide from it. I went there. I was extremely uncomfortable, but I had to face it. I had to face what I did to this man and potentially did to his patient. I looked him in the eye and I said, I want you to know what happened yesterday. It was my fault. Now, the reality for me, I have a team that I counted to do their jobs correctly. I wanted to point fingers, believe me. I wanted to say, well, it was Joe's problem. Joe forgot the tray. He didn't inventory it. It was terrible. It's his fault. But, at the end of the day, I'm the captain of the ship. I'm responsible. I'm the person that surgeon trusted to do the right thing. I said, it was my fault. I said, doctor, let me explain to you what happened. And he listened, and he couldn't even look at me. He was looking down at the desk. But when it was all over, when I finished explaining what happened, I said, let me tell you, we were up until midnight last night putting new processes in place to make sure it never happens again. And I took out these forms and checklists that we created the night before to show them what happened and that how each person who handled the instruments or in any way was responsible for setting up the case, there was a whole chain that people signed off on it. They had to check and initial each thing that they actually viewed the instrument case, whether they were checking it out, whether they were pulling it from the warehouse, or when they brought it to the operating room, they had to check again each case. And my guys they knew that failure, if there was a mistake, it was termination. There was no questions asked. It was termination. And so I showed this to the surgeon, and he really didn't say very much because this was a very stressful thing, and I didn't know if I was going to keep the business. To be honest with you, I did not expect to keep the business because I did not think I deserved it. It was such a breach of trust and confidence. It was just awful. But I walked out of the office knowing that I at least faced my fears. I faced the surgeon. I owned it. I didn't try to hide from it. And it was very, very uncomfortable. Well, I did not hear from that surgeon again for several months. He did take his business elsewhere, which was very, very painful. But here's something that I found out. When I went into the same operating room to do a case with a different surgeon, the orthopedic nurse, she hadn't seen me since that case. And she said, the doctor was very, very upset about what happened on that surgery. But yet, he was very, very impressed with what you did. I said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? He said, you came into the office the next day and you took full ownership of it. He said, you didn't try to pretend like it wasn't your fault. You didn't try to cast blame. He said, you came in there and you owned it. And while he wasn't happy with what happened, he was very, very impressed that you were man enough to come in there, face him, and accept full responsibility for the event, the omission. So why am I sharing this with you? Not to tell you how great I am, because I'm not that great. If I, at least at that point, I wasn't that great. At that point, if I was great, the mistake never would have happened. But that's not what this podcast is about. What this podcast is about is not hiding from your mistakes, because you can't. When the mistake happens, everybody knows it happens. And yet I've seen medical sales representatives over and over again. They start doing a dance. They start doing the stuttering dance. Well, my office screwed up, or Federal Express, they were late with their delivery. We didn't get the part in time. Something? It doesn't matter. Your customer doesn't care. They only care about two things. Number one, own the mistake. They trusted you enough to do business with you. They expect you to be an adult and be a professional. Own the mistake. Number two, show the customer in detail the steps that you and your company have taken. Show them the process to ensure that it's never going to happen again. That's what a professional does. And I'll be honest with you, that's not your only option. Your other option is to hide and act like it didn't happen. When you do that, your reputation will be destroyed. It will get around quickly through your accounts. Everyone will know about the mistake and how you do business. And here's the sad thing, folks. If it hasn't happened to you yet, if you're in this business long enough, it will. Hey, look, doctors make mistakes. I was reading yesterday that the third leading cause of death are medical mistakes. That's pretty scary. Human beings make mistakes. That's unavoidable. What is avoidable is how you proceed with fixing what caused the mistake and how you address the situation with your customers when it happens. For those of you who've listened to this whole thing, hats off to you, because this is the kind of podcast where I think a lot of people say, oh, I know what to do with a mistake. You know, you just face the customer, you just own it, you apologize, and you move on. You just move on. And a lot of people probably turn this off. If you've listened to this point, you've shown that you're a professional and that you want to do what's right in your territory. So hats off to you. And the reason, I guess the biggest reason why I bring this out is, again, it's the real reason why, if you're in medical sales, why you do what you do. Yeah, you do it to make a great living, and yeah, you have a great career. But at the end of the day, the reason that you do what you do is to improve outcomes for the patient or to improve outcomes for the provider. If that's where you focus, if that's where your heart is, if that's how you sell, you can't help but succeed. So remember, no matter what you do in your medical sales career, the patient always comes first. Don't hide from your mistakes. Fix them. For the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, this is Mace Haroff. Thanks for stopping by. I'll talk to you again on the next episode. Go out and do something great.